Welcome today to the Minister of Sermon and Song. I'm delighted today that you're listening and do hope that you will find refreshment for your soul through this ministry today. We are in the Gospel of John, and we have come down to verse 38 in John chapter 19. I'm going to read the rest of the chapter now at the beginning of the program today. I'm going to just read these scriptures. What precious, precious scriptures we have here before us. And we will make some discussion on them as the Lord leads. But I just want to read them. Do you realize that Jesus did not have a funeral? Do you realize that? You know, I've gone to quite a few funerals. I have preached in a number of funerals in my ministry. And I have watched the people in the families, and I've watched those standing by. I've heard later talk as to what went on at the funeral. And frankly, I don't think I've ever been to any funeral whatsoever that I did not hear someone discussing something about the casket, whether it looked good or not, the person, whether or not they had been well prepared for burial, the flowers that were placed around the casket or on the graveside. There's always some reference to something that went on during the funeral. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ had no one to preach his funeral, and I think that's significant. I don't know that they had funerals in those days as we do today. That is, speakers and ceremonies and that kind of thing. I'm sure they had something of that nature. I know they did when the kings and the important people died. In the minds of the people, they would bury them with great ado. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he was just dead there on the cross. Nobody seemed to care for him, except we find two disciples who were secret disciples. Up until this time, they had not publicly manifested themselves as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now after his death, they said, all right, we believe so strongly that we are going to let it be known that we are his disciples. And I think these are very precious scriptures, and I'm going to read them today in your hearing. Please listen carefully, or if you can, get your Bible down to John chapter 19, 38, and let's read together. And after this, that's after the scripture, John says the scripture was fulfilled, that they shall look on him whom they have pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus. Now that word simply means a follower of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Now here, of all those who had followed the Lord Jesus Christ openly, of all those who have declared themselves disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, including the 12 disciples especially selected, of course 11 left now after Judas' death, but they were not there. They were not there to take down the body. They were not there to speak a word of comfort to Mary. They were not there to preach a sermon or give some sort of an account of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not there to praise his goodness. They were gone. They were scattered. They were not there. But then here are two secret disciples. Now, I've never had a great deal of stock in secret disciples. I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm just going to have to acknowledge I just have never had a great deal of trust in secret disciples. I've just never had much trust in them. Frankly, I guess it's because I'm sort of like Peter and John when they told them not to preach, when they went up to the temple to preach. They said, we cannot help but preach. We have to preach. We have to tell what we know. We have to expound on what we've learned and know about the Lord Jesus Christ. We just can't hold it back. Now, I've been that way. Now, I have seen times in my life, and I'll just be as honest as I know how to be. I've seen times in my life when I feared man. I've seen times when I was in a situation and circumstances surrounding me caused me to not speak out like I ought to have. I've always been ashamed of it. I've always, when it was over, I'd always be convicted of it. Because I should never, ever, ever be ashamed of speaking out that Jesus is mine, that I love him, that he died for me on the cross, and that he'll save sinners from their sins. And, oh, I should be glad, and I am glad, to speak out for the Lord Jesus Christ. But here are two secret disciples. Now, the scripture says they were disciples. They were followers of Jesus. They had believed upon him. So we can call them Christians, I believe. And yet they were keeping their testimony secret. Now, as I said, I haven't had a great deal of stock in that, but I'm sure thankful for these two men who finally came to their senses and said, we have come to the place now where we need to publicly manifest that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Joseph went to Pilate, and evidently he knew Pilate, knew about him. Evidently, being high up in the Jewish hierarchy, he knew Pilate. And he went to Pilate, and Pilate gave him permission to take the body of Jesus down. So he comes, and as soon as he starts there, here comes Nicodemus, who has prepared spices for the body. He, too, being a secret disciple, not openly and publicly letting it be known that he was saved. Here he comes, and they take the ointment, and they prepare the body of Jesus Christ for burial. And because it was near the 6 o'clock hour when the preparation for the Sabbath began, then they took the body and placed it, as we are told, in Joseph's ready-prepared tomb nearby the hill of Golgotha, and they wrapped the body in cloths, linen cloths, and placed it in the tomb. I tell you, my dear friend, this certainly must have been a sad moment for them. Now, I know they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, but all the rest of the disciples had scattered, and they were sad. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus spoke to them, they were sad. Mary Magdalene was sad when she came to the tomb in the early morning. You see, they really had not latched on to the vital fact that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. They had not actually latched on to that as they should have. So this was a sad moment as they put Jesus in the tomb. But praise God, he didn't stay there. We're going to come to verse chapter 20 and verse 1 on the next program. He did not stay there. He rose from the dead. He is not dead in the tomb today. He is alive right now, having completed the work of redemption. And I've believed on him. And I don't want it to be secret. I want everybody to know I've believed on him. I've trusted him. I wonder if you would not trust him as your Savior today.